My name is Garland Robinson. You know, the Bible always is a book of truth. It's not part of the truth. It doesn't just contain truth. It is truth. It is the all-inspired and sufficient Word of God. And being so, it refutes error. Whatever is wrong, whatever is not right, whatever is contrary to truth, the Bible will refute it. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, we read, "All Scripture," listen to that, "all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." Now let's go back and break down each of these words again. All Scripture. That means every book, every chapter, every verse, every word in the Bible is God-breathed. That's what it means to be inspired of God. Yes, there were about 40 different men that were actually the ones used by God to pen the words of the different book in the Bible. But nonetheless, God guided them. He used their style. He used their vocabularies. But nonetheless, those words they penned are the words of God. Therefore, the Bible is a profitable book. It's profitable for doctrine, that is, for teaching. That is the book of God that tells us what is right. These are the words of God. And thereby, it is profitable for our reproof. That is, it rebukes sin. It spells out what sin is, tells us what it is, what's wrong with it, why it's not right, and we are reproved in that. And then it tells us what to do to correct our wrongs, to make ourselves right with God. And then it continues to instruct us how to live a godly life, a Christian life, every day. And as a result of that, we can be perfect. That doesn't mean sinlessly perfect. We'll not attain that as long as we are human in this body of flesh upon this earth. But we can be mature. We can be whole. We can be complete. That's what God desires. And so the Word of God has the ability, it has the power to make us complete. And it furnishes us into every good work that God approves of. Paul said to the church in Corinth in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 37, he wanted those brethren to make sure they understood that the things that he said, "I write unto you," are the commandments of the Lord. You know, there have been some that would say, oh, you know, there were occasions Paul just gave his opinion. And there's even one place where that is somewhat indicated. But the point we've got to keep in mind and remember is this was an inspired opinion. God moved through him to speak his word. And so what he had written, 1 Corinthians 14, 37 says, is the word of God. Peter mentions pretty much the same thing in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, when he says, "According as his divine power hath given unto us all things." Notice that. God has given unto us all things. He didn't say almost all. He didn't say a lot of things. He said all things that pertain unto life and godliness. That came about through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. So the Bible contains every item, everything that is needful for us to live a godly life, a righteous life in this world. Now, we either believe that or we don't. The Bible is not lacking. There's nothing I can supply. There's nothing you're going to be able to supply wherein the Bible is short and we need to add something to it. As a matter of fact, the Bible condemns anyone who would add to God's Word or take away from God's Word. Jesus worded it this way in John chapter 8 in verse 31 and 32. "If ye continue in my Word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." But the only way the truth makes men free is if We know that truth, and we obey that truth. We live according to that truth. So whenever we are involved in falsehood, in wrongdoing, in sin, then the Word of God condemns us because that's its job. That's what it does. The Bible tells us what to do with those who would teach error. In 2 John, there's only one little chapter in it, in verse 9, 10, and 11 we read, "Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. And if there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed, for he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds." Again, what's this verse telling us? It tells us that anyone who violates the Word of God does not continue or remain in the teaching of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It says that individual may think they are faithful, they may think they are of God, but they're not of God. He said they hath not God. But on the other hand, those who do continue in obedience to the gospel of Christ, those who remain in the doctrine of Christ or the teaching of Christ, the things that God has for us to do every day, he says we have both the Father and the Son. So if we find someone that would come unto us that doesn't adhere to the simple teaching of the New Testament, anyone that would come and do not follow the Bible, the instruction God has given, then here the Bible says, do not receive them into our house, neither bid him Godspeed. Now what that means is we do not endorse their false doctrine. We do not hold their hands. We do not lift them up. We do not encourage them. We're not in a position to aid them and hurry them along on their way, because verse 11 says, if we bid them Godspeed, then he says we are just as guilty as they are. We may not have taught the error ourselves, but if we assist those who do, then we become a partaker of their evil deeds. Notice that he says here, their evil deeds. Anyone that does not follow and remain, continue in the teaching and the doctrine of Christ, that is an evil deed, and we must not become a party to it. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1 we read, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." Notice, don't believe everybody that comes along. You know, that is so, so true, but yet so often it's not observed at all. People will believe just about anything and anybody that comes along. If they pretend to be so-called Christian, if they pretend to be religious, if they pretend to be helpful and caring about people, then our society is so often gullible enough to go right along with them. But here the Bible just tells us, don't believe anybody that comes along. Don't matter how pious they may appear to be or how sincere they may appear, but rather he says to try the spirits. That means to prove, to test. So someone that says they are a Christian and they're doing good works and they're wanting your assistance and your help, says we're not to be gullible enough just to go along. We need to test them. It's not that we're always suspicious or that we're doubtful of people, but we're just simply doing what the Bible tells us to do. That is, we would examine them. We are ready and eager and willing to assist them, aid them in their truth, and in their living a good life and teaching the same to others. Yes, but that only comes as a result of us first proving them, trying them to see whether they are of God. Because he warns people in the first century, and it's certainly true today, that there are many false prophets that are out there in the world. There are many that are crooks. There are many that are hypocrites. And as sad as that may be, it is a reality, and we're simply told, do not believe them, don't go along with them, but instead try them, prove them, test them, to see if they really are standing in the old paths. Another passage that deals with this is found in Romans chapter 16, in verse 17 and 18. Here Paul writes, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple." Now what was he writing the church at Rome? What did he tell those brethren there? He said, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine or to the teaching that you've always learned and known and received. Well, what does it mean to mark them? The word mark means to observe. It means to look toward, that we would be leery of or we would be careful about. When there's a bridge that's been washed out, there'll be a barricade put up. There'll be signs warning you, bridge out ahead. That is, everyone is to observe and to mark and to recognize and know, identify where the danger is so that we would not fall prey to it. We would not run off into the ditch or the chasm of the river or whatever that bridge may have been crossing. And he says we're to do that religiously as well. We're to observe, mark, bring attention to someone. And here he says those who are teaching different than our Lord taught. Those who are teaching things that cause division and offense to the gospel of Christ. He says we are to avoid them. And he tells us why. Because their motive is not right. They are such that do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ. They serve their own selfish desire. Oh, they sound good. He said, by good words, fair speeches, they deceive the hearts of the simple or the innocent. Oh, they appear to be so pious, so loving, so good. But he says, you'll know them by their fruits. Their teaching, their doctrine, the end result of their teaching leads people away from the Lord and not toward the Lord. Well, I hope these things have been beneficial to you today as we recognize the Bible is God's answer. It is truth. It is all inspired. It is sufficient. It tells us what to do with false doctrine and those who promote it. Well, that's what our job is as Christians, to love the truth, buy the truth, and sell it not. My name is Garland Robinson.